This is Seeking Delphi, episode number 46, Scenarios for a Post-COVID Future, part 3, The Electrical Grid and Emergency Preparedness, featuring Shay Baramarad. I'm Mark Sackler. The future lives here. The global coronavirus pandemic has brought changes in daily life that few of us ever imagined. Going to a movie theater, eating in a restaurant, going to work or school, and even going to the doctor for a routine checkup, all activities that we previously took for granted as things we could do anytime, are not currently doable in the same manner as in the past. But there is one critical part of our human infrastructure, at least in the developed world, that we mostly still take for granted because so far it does not seem to have been disrupted by the virus fallout. That would be our electrical power grid. If you think, thank goodness we have the internet and smartphones, which give us the ability to stay in touch and work remotely while social distancing, think of this. Where would any of that be without reliable electric power? And what happens if, on top of the current crisis, a major disaster like a hurricane, earthquake, or tidal wave wipes out a huge swath of power for an extended period of time? You probably don't want to think about that, but our electrical utilities have to. They'd better. One person who's done a lot of thinking about that is Shay Baramarad. She's a vice president with Commonwealth Edison in Chicago and vice president of New Initiatives for IEEE, the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. I spoke to her recently about these and related issues. Shay, it's a pleasure to have you with me here on Seeking Delphi. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
So Shay, to begin with here, before we get into some of the issues with the energy grid and how COVID-19 is impacting that both now and in the future, just give us a minute or two of your background and also what you're doing with IEEE and how that ties into all of this.
Sure. I am Shay Baramarad, Vice President of Engineering and Smart Grid at ComEd, the electric utility in Illinois. We provide electricity to more than 4 million customers in Northern Illinois, including City of Chicago. At IEEE, I am the Vice President of New Initiative and Outreach, and I am privileged to work with a group of experts leading new initiatives at Power and Energy Society that would include a task force of industry leaders to provide advice to policymakers and governments globally on technical matters, a group of experts that they are looking into what standards are needed in the future, as well as what we can do in industry to diversify the leadership in energy sector. That's something that is very much needed. I'm also a professor at Illinois Institute of Technology, teaching courses related to electricity market and integration of renewable energy to the power grid.
One of the biggest factors out there right now, it may not be an area of your primary expertise, but the crash and subsequent volatility of oil prices is on everybody's mind first. But, you know, that does have an effect on electrical production, because a lot of electrical production, I know here in the Northeast where I live of the U.S., a lot of it is in oil. So how do you see that impacting production post-pandemic? Are the low prices going to make it come surging back? Is there going to be a greater movement toward renewables, for example?
What I can tell you is that electric utilities are ready to integrate different forms of generation to the system. And in Midwest and Chicago that I am, our electricity or the generation is coming from a competitive market of PJM. And definitely the pricing of oil is going to play a huge role in market clearance. And depending on where policies goes in terms of renewable for accommodation of it, both at the federal level, FERC, or even at the state level to provide incentives, then that makes the market a bit different for different parts of the country.
Well, I have seen some numbers that suggest that renewable usage has been edging up in the first few months of this year in relationship to total electricity production. But you got to think that with these low prices, that that might slow or even somewhat reverse in the short to intermediate term as kind of a disincentive to wean ourselves off of carbon.
I should say, I don't want, to be honest with you, I don't want to make predictions about what will happen next. But I do think this pandemic offers us an opportunity to, as an industry, to take a step back and think about where we are. I'm doing this podcast from my flat in downtown Chicago, where I've been working from the past 7 weeks. And if you look at every newspaper or magazine out there these days, you see photos spread of cities with largely empty streets. So I'm not really alone in this. Traffic is down everywhere. And it is far less carbon footprint than we've had in years. For less smog, better air quality, when it becomes safe again, much will return to how it was. But we also now have an opportunity to think about what we can do to maintain the progress in terms of pollution and emission. This doesn't have to mean us all working from home, but we can have that same improved air quality, the same reduced carbon footprint, if we as an industry, as a society, recommit to increasing the penetration of low carbon forms of generation and implementing beneficial electrification. This is something, in fact, IEEEP yes does, providing a space for universities and thought leaders and national labs, electric utilities and system operators globally across the world to share and evaluate their perspectives and identifying best practices. I think this is where the industry is going, and there are leaders who are demonstrating major projects that are pointing the way for everyone. But there's also a value in the industry going together. One example I can share with you, Mark, is the important role of IEEE to develop standards. For example, we have been developing a standard for interconnection of distributed energy resources like solar or energy storage to the grid. And the significance of this standard is that it makes it easier for solar installers and grid equipment manufacturers and electric utilities or different stakeholders to collaborate on putting more of these types of generation to the system.
Let's move now to talk about the electrical grid in general and its response and preparation for shocks. I know that there's all sorts of always preparation for shocks like storms, for example, that knock out power. And in fact, I've noted, for example, locally here in Connecticut, ever since Sandy, they're out there being more aggressive, trimming the trees every summer back from the power lines to limit those types of outages. But what about pandemic? Is this something that's even been on the radar of electricity producers? Are there issues that they have to deal with, like obviously employers that are out sick? And is this going to change thinking going forward?
Mark, you reminded me of President Eisenhower saying that plans are worthless, but planning is everything. Living in electric utility, we understand that communities need power to function, and now it's more than ever. And this is why, as an industry, we have teams that perform analysis for worst-case scenarios. Every electric utility has an emergency preparedness organization that considers the worst-case scenario. They work to make sure that utilities have the capability they need when shocks occur, because we prepared for it. We were ready. Now, of course, pandemic planning has been a very hot topic in energy sector over the past few months. And many utilities, including ComEd, had pandemic plans prior to COVID-19. We were fortunate that one of the previous epidemic scares that never materialized here in North America was SARS in 2003, which is caused by another coronavirus and transmitted in a similar manner to COVID-19. We were informed by these past experiences when we developed our plans for this pandemic, and we are constantly refining it. We've done benchmarking with electric utilities across the world to understand how they have been responding to their particular geographical challenge. From these conversations, we have learned about different practices and how to identify ways to move forward. Right now, IEEE PES is writing a white paper to collect all of this material and offer it for members so that this information can be used for their best effort. The white paper is a really valuable document from my perspective. It includes discussions of how utilities across the world have faced different challenges. Though around the world, load and consumption has declined, in some places, it's been far more significant than other places. But more importantly, it discusses how different electric utilities and system operators have mitigated the challenges, including by improving safety for their field personnel, those working in control rooms, sequestering, as well as social distancing, and providing advanced engineering solutions. The solutions that are being demonstrated run the gamut. As a general rule, any role that can be done remotely is being done remotely. This range from customer service representative answering calls to executives. Many utility professionals have to be in the field, as you can imagine. For example, line people who install or repair the equipment that allows for reliable power cannot work remotely. Similarly, people running the control rooms need to be in the area. We are seeing, however, efforts to promote as much social distancing as possible. I can share with you at ComEd, for an example, we are having line people drive in separate cars and use two bucket trucks where they used to have a pair of people sharing one. We are leveraging backup control rooms to provide more social distancing and reduce concerns. And simultaneously, this is happening as the grid is being used in ways that are not typical. For example, in primarily commercial areas, we are seeing businesses use less electricity, while in large residential areas, we are seeing usage going up because people work from home. And utilities are dealing with all these issues and potential issues, I should say, proactively using these innovative solutions. For some advanced electric utilities and system operators, this will be largely a confirmation that they've been on the right track. And for others, especially in the areas that haven't yet been impacted as much by COVID-19, it will provide a roadmap of how to move forward. So, but I said all of that, that beyond the challenge of COVID-19, the goal is that this white paper won't just help electric utilities and the industry deal with shock, but make us all even more prepared for whatever else may come.
In terms of maintenance, obviously, when you have serious shocks, for example, it's a severe storm can knock out the grid in one narrow area. Now you've got like the whole country affected by this, not so much storms knocking things out, but perhaps you have challenges if line people are getting sick. And I'm wondering if the response, the distancing and all that, but has maintenance been a problem? And do you see any long-term changes based on what you learn from this? This is, after all, a futurist podcast. What we learn can help us for the future.
This is what we call multi-event disaster preparedness. And as an industry, we have been doing a lot of benchmarking to support one another in strengthening our respective strategies for these multi-event disasters. You talked about pandemic, but I add to that, in Chicago, we have storm season ahead of us. In France, they have their maintenance season ahead of them. And this is something that makes like a multi-event disaster and being prepared for it extremely important. As the Northern Hemisphere is approaching its summer season, it's known as tornado season for us in continental state, and hurricane season for our sister utilities on the coast. We've been devoting significant resources to planning for storm resource in pandemic mode. We have consulted with our different utilities across the world for whom the pandemic arrived in the middle of different season. Pandemic should not affect the maintenance of the power grid, because making sure that the power grid is safe and reliable is a core responsibility. Utilities have made changes to improve safety. We have adjusted work plans to enable social distancing for our employees, including field-based maintenance crews. But all critical maintenance work to the grid has been performed to the same standard and to the same extent it would under normal circumstances. And I can speak to ComEd system is in as good as a shape as ever going into storm season. The reason why is because the industry has been so focused on enhancing resiliency. This is by using approaches like dealing with material condition issues. For example, my job is serving as a technical business leader in Chicago and Northern Illinois, and we regularly plan for strong thunderstorms and regular winter blizzards and extreme temperatures throughout the year. Last year, we experienced a polar vortex, which led to temperature moving 80 degrees Fahrenheit within 24 hours. And this may not have been what electric grid was traditionally designed to handle, but we are ready for it and we are working towards it. And we are utilizing platforms like IEEE PES to understand what's going on around the world and what are the best practices to deal with. On a larger level, I think a lot about enhancing grid flexibility so that if one piece of equipment breaks, we may still be able to provide power. For example, the industry is installing distribution automation to mitigate the effort of outages. We are also increasingly aware of the importance of situational awareness and observability on the power grid. So we are installing a lot of advanced sensors to help grid operators make informed decisions. And this is another example of the type of standard that PES and IEEE has been pushing for the past couple of years.
Let's talk about a couple of worst case scenarios here. I hate to be a harbinger of doom, but in terms of what you said, if we were to get, say, another Katrina or Sandy this summer on top of what's been going on, while you may have the planning and the manpower, there becomes, I think, greater pressure to get it online quicker. It's already hard enough for people to get the supplies they need. And if you have a situation where the power could be out for days, there's going to be pressure to get that up and running faster. And I'm wondering if there's contingency thinking for this, and are the resources there if something like this happens?
In general, electric utilities are shifting from focusing on reliability to resiliency. These terms are used in a lot of different ways. So let me explain how I mean them. Reliability deals with high frequency, low impact events like rainstorm. And resiliency focuses on low frequency, high impact events. like the examples that you gave. And electric utilities have traditionally focused more on the former. And recent events such as Sandy and Katrina have reminded us of the need to ensure we have the capabilities to respond to that. This is what has given and driven a lot of our projects. For example, we are installing in Chicago the Bronzeville Community Microgrid, which is the first utility-operated microgrid cluster in America. Microgrids are a portion of the electric grid that can operate either in an island or in conjunction with the broader grid. This is extremely crucial in the case of black swan event that might otherwise cause large amount of damage. Our hope is to provide our region the capability it needs to meet whatever challenges emerge. But also, we need to think even bigger. And this is where the organizations like IEEE PES play such an important role. Today, the electric industry is collecting more data about the grid than ever before, which is crucial to providing this higher level of reliability and resiliency. And there is more to do. Technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning are already being demonstrated, but we are figuring out more cases where it can provide higher levels of service. At ComEd, we are even talking with quantum computing experts to identify ways to use quantum computing for power system issues. With capabilities like this, we can meet any challenges, Mark. I would add to it that in Chicago, there will be a conference, IEEE PES Transmission and Distribution Conference. It's one of the most world-class conferences in the world that experts and thought leaders are going to gather in October to talk about all these issues and what we can do as an industry to push the envelope on decarbonization and coming up with different ways to mitigate the challenges that are ahead of us.
Now, in terms of black swan events, there are black swan events that we know. We don't know where the hurricane is going to hit, how bad it's going to hit, but we know we usually get a couple, three bad ones every decade. Now, the COVID-19 was much more shocking. It's only happened, something like this has only happened once before in the world, when the world was much less electrified and much less connected, in the Spanish flu. But there's one black swan event that occurred in the 19th century that really has the potential to be devastating, and that's something called a Carrington event. And I've been dying to ask this to somebody in your industry, so maybe explain to our listeners what a Carrington event is and how it might be dealt with, because it has a potential to be quite devastating to the electrical grid, if I understand it correctly.
You're right, Mark. Carrington event is a solar storm that occurred in 1859. It was a powerful geomagnetic storm that would have caused significant outages if it occurred in the contemporary world. In 2012, a similar solar storm occurred but missed the entire Earth by 9 days, luckily. This is a topic that working group at IEEE PES and other organizations like EPRI has been doing research and looking into it and the impact on mainly on the bulk power and transmission system and how potentially it impacts it and what measures we need to put in place to mitigate them.
I'm glad to hear that there are plans in place, but you know, as I understand it, to prevent massive damage, it might be necessary to shut the grid down for a period of time, for a day or so, with only about 30 hours of notice. I mean, is this something that has been looked at this point? Is something that they're looking at, or is that more drastic than you think would actually be necessary?
I won't be able to speak to the specifics of it, depending on the magnitude and depending on the geographical location and the conditions of power system, the answer would be different. But there are other events, such as fire in California, that for a duration of time, the power system is shut down to prevent expansion of fire. So it's I would say the circumstances would be different at different part of the world, and depending on the event, the answer would be different. I wish I could give you more specific answer.
Well, of course, it hasn't happened, so we don't know, but we're seeing from COVID-19, obviously, that it pays to be prepared for that massive shock that even if it only happens once in 100 years, we don't want to be caught. So at any rate, Shay, I really thank you for your time, and I know everybody listening appreciates the behind-the-scenes efforts that you and your colleagues at all levels do keep the electrical power grid going in difficult times. We tend to take it for granted. But again, thank you, and we'll hope to find out more when your conference occurs in the fall.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. It was wonderful to talk with you.
If you're thinking, gee, that Carrington event happened 161 years ago, why should I worry about it now? Don't forget that the last major global pandemic, the Spanish flu, happened just over 100 years ago. Complacency breeds disaster. I'm glad to hear that these types of events are on the radar of our electrical utilities, but let's hope they won't have need to deploy their plans anytime soon. At least, not while we're still dealing with COVID-19. Applicable links on the subjects discussed in this program are available at www.seekingdelphi.com. Please remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Player FM, or YouTube, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Suggestions for future content are always welcome. My technical assistant is Mohammed Marouf. Until next time, I'm Mark Sackler.